Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. F up the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. F up the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here. Up coin tail pro.
Show.
They got me started, lion hearted. I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Guzu Saba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we rise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, ha. We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fuck me promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. If up the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. If up the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here. Up coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, cause that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Boys that don't tolerate it, melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack upped up another conversation, Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prisons. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation. Black power, black power, black power, brothers and sisters. You're listening to the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense nightly broadcast, coming to you live here in the belly of the beast in America, KKK, broadcasting all over the planet Earth, sending a shout out to the many countries that are listening tonight in the motherland of Africa, Black Power. Shouts out to everyone that's listening in the West Indies, in the Caribbean Islands, Black Power, in South America, in Central America, Black Power, in Europe, in the UK, and all across the France, and all the people that are listening all across Europe, and in Australia, in China, Canada, all of these places that are popping up on the switchboard, Japan, we have a global reach in Russia. Everywhere that everyone is listening, we do highly appreciate you, and most definitely last but certainly not least to our brothers and sisters here in the belly of the beast with us in America, KKK. We send a black power salute to all of you who are continued listeners of the New Black Panther Party nightly broadcast. Be sure that you support this broadcast by going to our website at www.nbpp.org. N as in new, B as in black, P as in Panther, P as in party.org. That's nbpp.org. No matter where you're at in the planet, go to their website, read about what we're about. Also, you can send us a message at that site if you're interested in joining or have some information to give us or to follow up on anything that you've heard on this broadcast. We also ask you to click that donate button and make a contribution to support the New Black Panther Party and to support this broadcast, to keep this broadcast open and free to tell the truth without censorship, without biting our tongues, without hiding anything but the pure, unadulterated truth, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the lovely that is taking place, the times and what must be done. We have brought you very profound speakers, hosts on certain nights here on this broadcast. On Monday nights, we have our national spokesman, Brother Malik Mau Mau. On Wednesdays, we generally play the clips from the Your Immunity Project or give you an update on what's going on with this COVID pandemic. On Thursdays, you hear from Brother Eugene Talford with the New African Network, as well as the different clips that we play on Thursdays from Pan-African TV. On Saturdays, we now bring you our brother out of Houston, Brother Emmanuel, doing his Restoration Justice podcast. And we have brought a host, and we'll continue to bring a host of special guests covering every gamut of information and content that is needed for our people here in America and across the planet Earth as Black nationalists and Pan-Africanists. We are for us and by us. And we're bringing you the information, even if the information has to come from our enemy. As long as it's relevant information, we will present it. We are all aware, brothers and sisters, that a global pandemic was unleashed on the planet Earth in 2020 under the code name COVID-19. But there's been so much diabolical schemes that went into this pandemic that caused the loss of life of hundreds of thousands of people. And unfortunately, to make matters even worse, there was a deadly vaccine that was unleashed by different corporations that have caused loss of life and very serious illnesses. And we've brought on this broadcast, presented to you doctors and lawyers and scientists and virologists, biologists, anthropologists, historians, you name it, from all gamuts, black and, yes, even white, and every race in between, to bring forth the truth that these wicked people across the globe are conspiring and have been conspiring to push this deadly agenda. And it's sad to say, not only has our open enemy been a part of this, but there are conspirators of every race, including our own, that have been a part of this. And we're not gonna cover that up. But we do know that the ultimate goal is not only population extermination of the planet Earth, but a population reduction of 2/3. And we know that black people, the melanated original people, are the majority of the population of the planet Earth. So that 2/3 majority is most definitely targeted at us. And this is definitely a scheme of global so-called wannabe white supremacists who in their eugenics program have been committing crimes against humanity, have been practicing for going on a century ethnic cleansing and genocide through eugenics programs. And this vaccine scheme is yet another one, but on a larger scale. So we're going to hear more tonight from other scientists, doctors, and attorneys. And our topic for tonight is the global aftermath of the deadly side effects of the COVID vax. And again, I remind you, go to our website and click that donate button to make sure that we can keep bringing you information. Go to www.nbpp.org and send us a donation. So without further ado, we're going to play tonight's clip. I hope you have your pens and papers ready. Before we even got started, we got somebody with a question. 323 area code 323. Before we get started, what is your name, question, and/or comment, and what city are you calling from?
Yeah, my name's Joe. I've been trying to get a hold of you for a little while because I wanted to tell you that I've been listening to a lot of your clips about COVID and about the the Fourth Industrial Revolution, et cetera. And I wanted to let you know that the clips were good and that they were informative. But you never seem to want to pick up the phone. I guess I can see why. But I persisted to let you know that's a very good program that you're producing for people to know, because a lot of times, a lot of people, they don't know what's happening. So it's a good thing you're doing. That's all I want to say.
Well, Joe, we have a limited time period that we can play. We have 2 hours. I feel that, we feel that it's imperative to get the information out. And then we do have nights when we do open up the line, but we've been adamant with, we've been snatching these clips and validating the people, making sure that we're not, just telling you anything. And, we feel that it's important that we get the information out. So we appreciate you listening, Joe. And we have seen you, trust me, it's several people, but we just had to make a conscientious, it's plenty that I can say.
I understand.
It's a lot I can say. But I want folks to hear it from the doctors and scientists, so they can't say, oh, that's just Sister Crystal, that's just some conspirators. I want them to be able to, say, everything that we're saying, we backing it up. But we appreciate definitely, continued listeners.
Did you also play the trial of the COVID?
I sure did.
Yeah, that's right, too. That was good, too.
and so you guys know, it's in our archive. Go to blogtalkradio.com/NewBlackPanther and pull these clips up on demand, because we take time. It takes hours upon hours. But this is information that the major media is not bringing forth. And so while we have the ability, we will use this time wisely. And so that's what time is. So thank you, Joe.
Yeah, sure. I recommend it to anybody who listens, because it takes a lot of research. I do my own research, so I know what you're doing. And it takes a lot of time. So if you can download the archives from this show, do so. Okay. Well, thank you for what you're doing and for taking my call. And be safe, okay?
All right. Thank you. Take care. All right. So we getting ready to play this clip. Let's see. We got our brother. I don't know if he wants to say something. If you want to say something, Brother Emmanuel, before I play this clip tonight, I found some more very powerful information from some doctors and attorneys that are still pushing. As you guys know, Wednesday night we normally play the Your Immunity Project. The Your Immunity Project, we will play their clips, but the clips have been shortened because of Ramadan, but we will be bringing those clips later on during the week. But we want to go ahead and get these clips out. And tonight's topic is the global aftermath of the deadly side effects of the COVID vax. There's been a lot of legislation going on There's been a lot of lawsuit. Let me say, not legislation. There's been a lot of litigation going on, in which families and different groups have filed lawsuits in regards to, you know, the deadly after effects and side effects of this COVID. In keeping with our updates on Wednesdays, we're going to keep that going. So without further ado, let's hear it. Black Power.
Now we turn to another guest. We have the lawyer, Todd Callender. He specializes in disabled rights topics and has worked in the disability health and life insurance industry for more than 20 years and focuses on the international convergence of biomedical morbidity and mortality risks in the global legal context. There's something very interesting that you discovered, like when you worked with the U.S. Department of Defense and the COVID, or like COVID, rather COVID injections, vaccine injections aftermath.
Yeah. Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you perfectly well.
Great. Yeah, it's nice to meet you both, by the way. Thank you for having me. And by the way, your guests I've been watching are just fantastic. What wonderful brains you've brought to this, and yourselves as well. And I wanted to congratulate you both on
Thank you very much.
What a wonderful job you're doing. Amazing. The court of public opinion is yours. You've done a very, very fine job.
Thank you so much. But again, we couldn't do it without the experts, people like you.
Well, I'm standing on the shoulders of giants, frankly, Reiner, because it's our expert witnesses that have brought this education, and it's been a tremendous education. It really all started 20-plus years ago when I was working in the vaccine industry. My family owns the intellectual property rights to a needle-free mass vaccination device. So I spent 3 years in Cuba doing clinical field trials, the third phase clinical field trials, the very same ones that are happening with these purported vaccines right now. And I learned a lot about the vaccine industry in so much that I did business with the very same people that are now, you know, executing on this genocide. So I did understand that, and that's frankly why it is that I filed suit against the DOD, the Health and Human Services, FDA, in August of last year. When I saw what was happening, including the pandemic bond that the World Health Organization, I'm sorry, it wasn't the World Health, it was World Bank and the IMF put together. They used that as they used the claim on that bond. It was $500 million denominated in SDRs, special drawing rights. But it was the first time that they had made the SDRs into a cryptocurrency. And so when that happened, it made sense to me that they were simply implementing the 2005 international health regulations in order to provide a global homogenized response to what it was they had created. And when use of force was authorized by Secretary Austin, I realized that this is a military operation, and it's a global military operation, and that it would be forced on humanity. And that's where I just couldn't help it. I had to file suit, and we did. And the point of filing suit was, as much as anything, to educate the U.S. military that what it is they're purporting to do is illegal. Per the Nuremberg Code, per the International Convention on Civil and Political Rights, per the International Convention on Human Rights, and per the Uniform Code of Military Justice and U.S. statutes. All of this is patently illegal. We all know that. And I'm shocked by how it is that nobody in government, pretty much in any country in the world, seems to care, minus a few notable exceptions, the president of Haiti, Magufuli in Tanzania, and a few others. But this is a very well-coordinated genocide in progress, and it made me dig a little bit deeper into how it is that these kill shots, as I call them, have called them for some time, operate, and what it is they're seeking to achieve with them. So I'm sorry, it's a long way of getting to the point, which is what I think you're interested in. Is it the lipid nanoparticles, the delivery systems? Is it the pathogens in the lipid nanoparticles? Is that the interesting thing?
Well, the most important thing is that I saw that a little video clip in which you were interviewed. I forget who it was that interviewed you, but you told them about the incredible well, should I say excess mortality that was found? Yeah. And I don't know what caused this excess mortality. It must have something to do with the so-called vaccinations, of course.
Yes.
It may be the lipid part, nanoparticles, and maybe the spike protein. I don't know. What do you know about this?
I do know. It's not even a question.
Okay, go
ahead. We have figured this out. So the lipid nanoparticles carry, think of them like little bombers, and they're carrying payloads. And those payloads are oligonucleotides, messenger RNA, and synthetic DNA. Those are the payloads of these little bombers. In order to slip those little bombers past the human's natural immunity, they had to disarm people's natural immunity. They used three different AIDS proteins. I'm sorry, HIV proteins, the GP120, the AD5 as an adjuvant, and the PP14. Those three proteins were injected into the humans for the purpose of allowing the lipid nanoparticle bombers to go into the cells, deliver those payloads, and then create synthetic DNA through recombinant mRNA and recombinant DNA. So we know all of that. We also know what the pathogens are that were delivered, at least in some of the shots, because it's in their pads. What is particularly alarming, you know, in terms of all of these numbers, excess mortality and morbidity, is that the people that put these three HIV proteins into the shots disarmed people's natural immunity. They gave them vaccine-induced AIDS, and they didn't give them anything to reverse it. So now what you're seeing in terms of all-cause morbidity and mortality, the numbers that I got came out of the U.S. Department of Defense's own database called DMED. It's the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database. So, again, going back to my lawsuit against the DOD, I called several expert witnesses who testified in both our temporary restraining order and in our preliminary injunction, one of whom was Dr. Teresa Long. You might have seen her, and some notable other ones, including Dr. McCullough. So we have come to understand all this with a group of medical experts, a scientist that have come to our aid in understanding all of this. And everything that I'm telling you, I can back up with evidence, and I will be happy to do that. What is almost more concerning, let me get back to that. So when you see a 1,100% increase in all-cause morbidity and mortality, that means something systemic has caused this problem. So you would see a natural, actually an abnormal increase in all-cause cancer, heart issues, inflammation issues, blood clotting. And I can actually send you what that looks like on a per malady basis. But when you see all of them arising to hundreds of percentiles in a class of people who are physically fit from 18 to 45, these are all military people, there is only one cause for that. And that is the destruction of their immune system. So that is the vaccine-induced autoimmune deficiency syndrome. We know this now. In fact, it's in science all around, and the Israelis, they're ahead of everybody else. They've already published papers on this. Everybody knows that. So the short answer to this whole thing is that everybody that got the shots was given some form or level of AIDS, autoimmune deficiency syndrome. The ones that got the one shot, it seems that they have about 30% of their natural immunity destroyed. By the time they get three shots, all their natural immunity is completely gone. And we're seeing that with our doctors, experts that are testifying in their practices, including on-base and off-base doctors that have come to see us. The real epidemic is now. I happen to be in the morbidity business. I'm the CEO of a large insurance group, and we underwrite morbidity risk, principally disability, accident, sickness, and health. Based on what it is we are seeing, the rates right now, excess mortality at 84%, excess every kind of disease at 1,100%, we are expecting a 5,000 or so percent increase in excess mortality for this year. An enormous number. I don't think that it's by coincidence, by the way, that Moderna has now just received licensure of their emergency use authorization HIV vaccine. So they gave everybody AIDS, and here's your salvation as this vaccine, which seems to be a multiple dose vaccine. Almost worse than that, this ties into, again, going back to me standing on the shoulders of giants, these experts have figured out that there's an electromagnetic connection to all of this. We would have seen that during the lockdown period for almost 2 years, at least in the United States and several other countries, there was a massive installation of 5G networks on every single public school in the United States, and most private ones. There are brand new 5G arrays. Those are the 2 gigahertz to the 300 gigahertz range. Each one of those signals does different things. And in fact, they can mimic the very same kind of symptomology as COVID. So for instance, in Halloween night 2019, Wuhan was the first city in the world to go 5G. They turned on 10,000 transmitters. Within the coming days, you have this massive problem with Chinese everywhere, literally falling over dead, which is not exactly the same symptomology as your normal COVID. You'd see people standing on the street falling over dead. It turns out that at the 60 gigahertz signal, which is a 5G signal, it's actually capable of separating oxygen from nitrogen. So some people, according to our experts, are literally standing on the street, and through the targeting device known as their cell phone, they were able to rip the oxygen from the nitrogen. People are breathing nitrogen and not getting the oxygen they need, literally falling over dead. 5G is like a butcher knife. It's a dual-use item. You can use it to communicate, but at the same time, you can use it to kill. It so happens that a lot of the tests that we looked at in the scientific world focused on the 18 gigahertz signal. And this interplays with the lipid nanoparticles I'm going to tell you about. If you look at the patents of Moderna, Pfizer, I haven't looked at Johnson & Johnson. It might be there. All you have to do is type the pathogens. The COVID pathogen itself was chimeric. It was part bacterial and part viral. We know that now. The pathogens inside of the lipid nanoparticles, the ones that were created and are inside the lipid nanoparticles, inside of the vaccinated people right now, are also chimeric. In some cases, they are Marburg mixed with E. coli. They are Ebola mixed with Staphylococcus. When those lipid nanoparticles are exposed to an 18 gigahertz signal, they swell and become porous, which means that they will literally pour out those oligonucleotides, the proteins that cause people's bodies to produce these pathogens. That was the whole point of the messenger RNA technology, was to genetically modify people for the purpose of having them produce synthetic proteins. In the case of COVID, it was synthetic S proteins. After the 18 gigahertz signal, it will be other proteins, perhaps M proteins. They also produce, of course, the same HIV protein. So when people, the subjects of these shots, are producing these synthetic proteins, these synthetic pathogens, they're actually shedding them on others. They were designed, the vaccines were designed to be contagious, in the words of Bill Gates. So when we look at what is going to be the next shoe to drop, I can already tell you it is Marburg. How do I know that? Because the Marburg provisions of the U.S. PREP Act have already been put into action. There is theoretically no Marburg in the United States and hasn't been for some time. How is it that in March of 2020, the Marburg provisions of the PREP Act were invoked, which created funding from Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, CMS, in order to fund the goals of 42 CFR Part 70 and 71. That's the enabling statute for emergency public health for health and human services. As a part of that, 2016, I encourage you to look it up. You will find that there is a mandate in the case of a public health emergency to quarantine people, test people. They basically have carte blanche, martial law. All constitutional rights are suspended, and frankly, what rights you get are granted by the CDC. So when you look at the confluence of all of these things, right now we've intercepted and found intergovernmental agreements coming from the U.S. federal government to fund the building of what we call FEMA camps. They're quarantine centers. And we actually stopped one in Cochise County, Arizona. So it is our contention that this 18 gigahertz signal will be sent out at some point. It will produce the Marburg hemorrhagic fever results. They will use that as the pretext to fill and occupy these quarantine centers and the hospitals that are already murdering U.S. persons to the tune of a million or so this last year, will be used as receiving centers. And why do I say the hospitals are murdering people? Because I'm involved in trying to get people out of them. As part of my analysis, you know, in trying to help people escape the ICU intensive care, I've stumbled on a variety of things that are really quite interesting from a legal perspective. And that is that in 2008, the U.S. government merged public health with law enforcement, with the judiciary, and with corrections. All four of them are now under one roof. So, for instance, a typical example, and I get these every single day, to this moment, these are hospital homicides. Somebody will go to the hospital with a broken arm. They arrive with an ICD-10 code, right, the international codes. They are mandatorily given, per the hospital's protocols, because they accept federal funding, a COVID test. If the COVID test comes back negative, they are given another COVID test with a higher cycle rate. They invariably come back positive. At that moment, they are then moved to a COVID ward where they are given an IV bag with midazolam. Midazolam, right, that's the one they use for lethal injections. And what it does is tranquilize the lungs and it lowers oxygen absorption rates to about 70%. That is then used as the pretext to move them into the ICU ward. Right? 70% oxygen is their limit. They then add in the remdesivir into that IV bag. Invariably, they end up on a ventilator, and the ventilators are operating and broadcasting on the 60 gigahertz signal, the same one that separates oxygen from nitrogen. It's only a function of time then from when they die. When they get on the ventilator, we haven't had any luck at all. My job in reference to all this has been, how do we stop these people from getting into ICU and the respirator? How do we get them out of the hospital? And I've had some luck. I'm really only shooting a little bit less than 50% able to get people out. Why is that? For instance, if I call the police and say, look, this patient didn't want remdesivir, that's a medical battery. And we go and swear out a criminal complaint. Medical battery, medical kidnapping, false imprisonment. Those are the three felonies in all 50 states. The police refused to investigate it. Early on, we were able to get health, safety, and welfare checks out of the police, so they would actually come and look at the chart and the patient and talk to them. That doesn't happen anymore. Now what happens is the police show up and they arrest or ticket the loved ones who are trying to be with their family, and they drag them away. And this is where I came to understand that the hospitals, public health, are part of the law enforcement apparatus. Similarly, when I sued the DOD and I got the response of pleadings, it was as though the Department of Justice had responded to a different lawsuit. I looked at it didn't make any sense to me who they were responding to, because elements of our case weren't even in there. However, it turns out that again, the judiciary has been combined, it's been merged with public health and law enforcement. What we were seeing were canned pleadings. No different when we would sue in a local court. One of the first cases this happened, we sued in Texas. There was a patient in ICU in Baylor University Hospital. We got a temporary restraining order in order for us to get an outside doctor to come in and give this person ibuprofen. Within the next day, the hospital's lawyer showed up and they threatened our judge with the unauthorized practice of medicine. The TRO went away and our client was killed. How do I say killed? How do I know this? Because I have another case similar where my client went in not for COVID. My client went in with an aneurysm. The client was nonetheless treated in the exact same format I'm telling you about, with the midazolam, with the remdesivir. They put him in the COVID ward. Never had COVID, but what they did instead was they doped them up on morphine and fentanyl and a variety of cocktail of drugs. So I called the hospital's lawyer and said, listen, we want to move them to other care. And the hospital's lawyer told me, no, your client is going to die in our hospital. This was his words. So I called the chief of police, who already had a case with three felonies alleged and a case number. And I said, you know, chief, I want to do a health, safety, and welfare check on my client in the hospital. They're not COVID positive, but they're being treated in this fashion. No, I'm not going to go there, says the chief. Why? The city attorney told me that this is a civil matter and we're not going to deal with this. Try and call the city attorney's office. No, they won't talk to me. Go back to the hospital's lawyer and say, and I told him, I said, this is criminal and I will pursue this criminally. Too bad it's civil. Your client is going to die in our hospital. I filed a criminal complaint with the FBI. No avail, wouldn't investigate it. And sure enough, our client died in that hospital from starvation. He weighed 78 pounds at the time of the autopsy. He was dehydrated. He was starved. He was high on fentanyl and morphine and several other drugs that we did an autopsy on. We will be pursuing that case for the purpose of breaking up the immunities that are granted under the PREP Act, the CARE Act, and the CMS waiver program, along with the same issues with the COVID mandate. The immunity is so broad. Where there's fraud, we can destroy that. We can vitiate those protections. And in this particular case, I intend to do that on a criminal basis as well. We'll start with the civil suit. With some luck, we'll get past the fraud into criminality, and we'll be able to blow those immunities away. The reason I'm telling you all of this is because this is a master plan that has been extraordinarily well coordinated from a legal perspective, from a funding perspective, from every government function you can imagine, including the elimination of any constitutional or charter rights. That is by international law. I would encourage you to look at the 2005 international health regulations. All of this arises from Agenda 21, which I heard one of your other guests speaking about, which has three primary goals. It's the agenda for the 21st century arising out of the 1994 Rio Climate Accords. The three goals are, number one, the elimination of private property rights. That's communism. Number two, the elimination of borders. All you have to do is look at the mass migration in the United States and Europe, and you can see that. And the reason why they want to eliminate the borders is because they want to eliminate sovereignty. Third plank of Agenda 21, which they call sustainable development, is mass depopulation. We're in all three of those phases right now. Klaus Schwab says you'll own nothing and be happy. Sovereignty is being surrendered. If you look at the OECD in 2016, they took the tax and fiscal policy of every member nation for themselves. They installed competent authorities that are managed by the OECD. It no longer matters if you have a prime minister or a president because the OECD has the authority. Those two planks are already done. Third plank, mass depopulation. We are in it right now by virtue of hospital homicides. They will roll out the Marburg or Ebola, it doesn't matter, hemorrhagic fever, triggering mechanism of the 18 gigahertz signal, and then we will have the quarantine camps completely loaded, and these people will choose and pick who it is they want to have survive this. At the end of the day, from a legal perspective, there's one really compelling and scary part to this. If you look at, there's a case, and I think I sent it to you, it's called, let me get you the exact styling, it's a U.S. Supreme Court case. And this is where we have the issue of legality. It's called the Association for Molecular Pathology versus Myriad Genetics, Supreme Court case 2013. This arises out of earlier cases on genetic engineering, who owns the rights to the synthetic genome. On page 6, halfway down, it starts with the words, it is also. The court finds that use of messenger RNA in particular creates intellectual property rights in the synthetic genome that they create. What does that mean? That means everybody that got the shots, whose messenger RNA converted their cells into producing spike proteins, are now the chattel property of the intellectual property right holders, the patent holders. That's what this case means, and it's good law in the United States. And there's hardly any other law anywhere in the world that speaks to it or prohibiting it. And you can look at plans from NASA and DARPA dating back to 2001, where they speak of hybrid humans that they will own and operate. This is the magnitude of what it is we are up against. This is about the end of humanity, right? We are talking about an extinction level event where the owners, and I'll speak to that in a minute, have already pre-decided, right, who's going to live, who's going to die, who's going to become a machine, who do we own? So if you look at this from a genocide perspective, and here it is, I'm using that word genocide, frankly, we have a major fault in the causation and the elements of our case. Homicide is the unlawful taking of a human life. What is a human defined as? A homo sapien. Right? These people are no longer homo sapiens. In fact, they've already been named. The new species that's called Homo bongenesis. So if they are no longer human, do they enjoy human rights? Do they enjoy the protections of the criminal code? And my sense is, no, they probably don't. So what can you do with your property, right? This is chattel property. The 13th Amendment of the United States Constitution outlaws slavery, defined as the owning of a human. Well, they found a way around it. And no different than being able to experiment in this particular case on humanized mice, which already exist. That's what laboratories use. Now we have machinized, genetically altered humans. So I've spoken a lot, and I know you probably have some questions, so let me shut up for a minute, and then I'll answer or go further, whatever you decide.
Two things. The U.S. Supreme Court decision that you cited, is that the one from 2006?
No, 2013.
2013. Can you give me the exact quote?
Yeah, I will. So let me, the styling is Association for Molecular Pathology versus Myriad Genetics. And I'll give you the page 6 language exactly. I will send this to you, and it's already highlighted, but I'm going to read it to you. It is also possible to create DNA synthetically through the process similarly well known in the field of genetics. One such method begins with a messenger RNA molecule and uses the natural bonding properties of nucleotides to create a new synthetic DNA molecule. The result in this inverse of the RNA's inverse image of the original DNA results in ownership rights in the genetic synthetic result in the genome. So that is good law. The U.S. Congress has not written anything to overcome this, but it has written a companion statute called the GINA, the Genetic Information Anti-Discrimination Act, GINA. However, there is nothing to replace this in terms of who owns the synthetic genome created by the use of messenger RNA. So now we know that at least in the case of the Moderna shots and in the case of the Pfizer shots, both of which use messenger RNA, that this is the result. I suspect that there is other more recent case law that would describe adenovirus vectors for genetic modification to also be the same. There is a compendium on gene therapy. This whole industry is so well developed right now. There's a Sears Roebuck catalog. Are you familiar? Do you know what I'm talking about, right? The Sears Roebuck. They used to have these 3-inch thick. So you can go, and I'll send this to you. It's a compendium of gene therapy. You can go to services and tell them, today I'd like to have some flying monkeys. And they'll go do it on their computer. They'll produce it and stick it into a lipid nanoparticle and shoot it out to you. That's how well this industry is already defined.
Well, that's really quite intense. I mean, if all this is reality, which is, it does sound very frightening. Like, how would these people identify their property? Because, these vaccine passports, they might not be, 100% true, because some people might just have the paper without having been vaccinated. So do you think there's something in the vaccine that makes it possible to detect from the outside with what they've been vaccinated?
The answer is yes, and we already know that. So if you were to look at, I believe it's Exhibit 4 in our preliminary injunction, and I'll send that to you. We actually did mass spectrometry on the shots, on both Moderna and on the Pfizer shots. And in there, we found certain components that do exactly what it is you described, including a chemical compound called luciferase. But if you look up SM102, I think is the Moderna shot, and I think it's ALC1035 in the Pfizer shot. Those have the components to understand who has been shot and who hasn't. Of course, you would have seen lots of other people that have done a variety of studies that people are now sending off Bluetooth signals. That's been well verified. It appears, based on our mass spectrometry, that they didn't actually include graphene oxide in the shots. What I've come to find instead is they included all the base compounds in order for the bodies to produce their own graphene oxide. One of our experts has testified that the use of electromagnetic radiation, EMF radiation, meaning what's coming out of your cell phone signals will actually cause the growth, a 300% increase in graphene dioxide, right? Hydroxide, sorry, graphene hydroxide inside the human body. So all they have to do is put the base chemicals into the user, expose them to a certain level of magnetic radiation, cell phone signals at a certain frequency, and those people will actually grow graphene hydroxide inside of them. And you would have seen this again, you know, one of our experts was a mortician. He couldn't get the embalming fluid into the cadavers about, I guess it was January of last year. And so he opened up their, you know, their arms and their legs, and he pulled out these great giant sheets. They were blood clots the length of the leg, but after you washed the blood away, they were actually sheets. Those components are ostensibly the graphene hydroxide. So it is happening. We know that for a fact. There are autopsies that prove this. Science approves it. Dr. Ryan Cole, I believe, has quite a bit of that science as well. So the short answer to your question is yes, we know that. People are showing up to airports with fictitious vaccine passports, and the, you know, the customs agents already know you're not vaccinated. That's a forgery. Here we are in the age of digitization. There's no way that you can fake it.
Wow. And do you think, because when our experts looked at you know, the vaccines, like the different charges, so they saw a very, you know, like variants of mixes of the components,
yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes you have a bit more copper or like rare earth or whatever inside. Do you think that
sure.
serves as some sort of fingerprint, or is that a whole different... why are these different
Good.
Components? Is this like, did you, I mean, you just mentioned that you think there may be like different roles for the individual people who receive
sure.
these shots. Like, what does it do? What's the difference between all these variations of charges?
Good question. Yeah, it's a good question. The short answer to your question is yes. It is highly likely that that's the case for a couple of reasons. Number one, these are phase 3 clinical trials. And in relation to the FDA regulations that govern these, they have the opportunity during their testing in phase 3 to change the ingredients. And they don't even have to tell the FDA until they have their final application. That's exactly what happened. The DOD, by the way, was behind this. They're the ones that commissioned Pfizer and Moderna to do this. This was DOD originated in the test number C459-1001. You have all the data. So this, the phase 3 clinical trials were designed exactly as you described to test different components, and we don't even know. So for instance, if you were to look at the patents as it relates to the pathogens that were carried in the lipid nanoparticles, you'll find different ones, 8, 9 different patents, and it appears to us that different people received different doses, and some of the highest mortality rates associated with a particular serial number in those bats bears exactly out what it is you're saying. The problem we have is that the testers, Pfizer, Moderna, you know, all the EUA companies do not have to tell us what it is they're testing until they finally get approval and they have labeling requirements.
Actually, here in Germany, there's some sort of regulations where there's not even any, you know, labeling requirements anymore for the vaccines.
Wow.
And
wow.
Or at least the health minister, I don't know if they've already, like, taken, you know, making use of this, but there is, like, there's the option in this regulation that you can, like, say you're not doing any labeling at all. You can use it after the, you know, the minimum duration date, you know, expiring, like, you can use it after that. And also they're not obliged to keep any batches for further future investigation. So you can't.
Well, what is the point of a regulation at all? Why even bother?
Well, it's claimed to be you know, put into place because it's supposed to for the medical needs of the vaccine to kind of to push things to speed up things. Like, I mean, that's the pretext, kind of, that it's like less effort for the producers and all that, you know. But obviously,
I saw that
else.
Actually. It's funny you say that because I noted that Comirnaty was licensed in Germany something like a year before the got the BLA approval in the United States, which, by the way, is not approval. It's approval of what it is they're going to do. It's not approval of the vaccine itself. So it's kind of similar to what it is you're saying. I'm just shocked, though, that there are no particular standards. You can just make it up. So this kind of goes back to my compendium Sears Roebuck catalog of gene therapy. You can just order up whatever you want. There's no law against it. So have your flying monkeys or whatever you want.
Does that mean, Todd, that the question of how bad is my lot doesn't really play any role anymore, because it's not about the spike protein, rather it's about the lipid nanoparticles, and they're the same in every one of these lots?
Well, they all have lipid nanoparticles, all four of them, whether that's AstraZeneca, it's called hydrogel generally.
Yeah.
Whether it's AstraZeneca, J&J, and by the way, all of them share the AD5 adjuvant. It seems as though Sputnik and Sinovac also have this HIV adjuvant. So then they give them the whole world AIDS. But to answer your question, in the disclosure to the FDA as to what these shots are made of, we have polyethylene glycol and all these other things that we picked up on mass spectrometry, which showed, by the way, that the ingredients for Moderna were the same as Pfizer. They just had different proportions of polyethylene glycol. Other than that, they were the same. What was different between the two shots is the programming messenger RNA and adenovirus DNA to program the body. So I think to your point, we have no clue what pathogens are inside of those lipid nanoparticles. We just know that the pathogens exist. Who gets what? We have no clue. Some will show up with Ebola, some will show up with Marburg, some will show up with COVID. We just don't know, because they don't have to tell anybody.
What shuts off the immune system is the messenger RNA, right?
Well, so the short answer is yes. There are three proteins. GP120, the AD5 is a recombinant messenger RNA. And then there's the PP14, which is a protein that comes out of pregnant women's placenta, which attacks the cancer T cells. Those appear to be in all of the shots. But just to be clear on this, Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca use synthetic DNA as a vector versus Moderna and Pfizer that use messenger RNA. It accomplishes the same thing.
In other words, unless it's true that some of the lots were just placebos, then everyone who got the shots is in danger.
That's right. They all have AIDS. That's correct.
So what's the point of having all these, additional shots, like the booster and then a fourth and fifth and whatever? Like, what are they, what in your opinion, what do you think they're adding, like, with the additional shots?
Good. I think there's two elements of causation behind that. Number one, I think the goal of the exercise is, in fact, to destroy a person's immune system. So they give them the booster shots for the purpose, then, of rolling in the emergency use authorization existing Moderna HIV shot. And the reason for that is the control paradigm. When you look at the new war, the new frontier, when you look at DARPA and what the Defense Intelligence Agency came up with in terms of the frontier of the fourth, world war, it's a biomechanical war. So, and it's a genetically modified soldier or person war. And I think you might have seen Kim Jong-un already did a demonstration last summer with his genetically modified super soldiers. That's the new battlefield. And when you read some of the documents, the papers that the governments have written about this new battle frontier, there are constant software upgrades that have to happen to stay competitive in this brand new arms race. So my sense is that if somebody has no immune system whatsoever and they are required to get these brand new HIV vaccinations once a month for the purpose of staying alive, if you don't get your shot, you're going to die in 30 days, those additional shots can act as software upgrades. The hardware's already been implemented. People are made of graphene, hydroxide, and whatever else. That's the mainframe. And Bill Gates has actually talked about that, as did Dr. Lieber and Dr. Venter, the creator of artificial life. So we, once you've got the modified man-machine, how do you upgrade the software to keep competitive in a battle environment? That's what these papers talk about, and I'll send you one. And so my speculation, my theory is that they will have to get monthly shots in order to, number one, stay alive, and number two, receive their software upgrades for whatever purpose they're designed.
Next war will just be reprogramming this artificial
system. That's right.
They will try to have programmers on both sides who are better to kill the other ones and so on. It's like it's like a computer game. It's like boys playing with computers. It's incredible. It's so stupid. It has nothing to do with life. It has nothing to do with human beings. It's just a stupid game.
Yeah. Well, and that's the point. They don't care about human life. In fact, they hate humanity. They want us either gone, owned, or whatever. You know, when you understand the people behind this, I call them the owners. And I call them the owners because the people behind the Bank for International Settlements already own the world's money supply. They own the water supply, the food supply, the electricity supply, the labor supply. They own it all, right? And the owners are all Luciferians. And they hate humanity, and they have a stated goal to genetically modify every species on this planet, starting with us.
I think it's the last chance we have that we make understand the soldiers and the policemen what's going on.
That's right. That's the key.
Because they need them. Because they are very weak people, and they wear a tie, but that doesn't give them strength. You know,
I agree.
They need those obedient soldiers and who take the jab and who then are altered and so on, and even those who don't yet have the jab, if they obey, they can go on doing this crime. So we have to inform policemen and soldiers what's going on. We have to tell us.
Well, that's what I was trying to do. In March of last year, I wrote a form criminal complaint based on crimes against humanity, genocide, and a variety of other crimes. We published it on our website that we built for this very purpose called Vax Choice, V-A-X-X Choice. And after drafting this and publishing it, we had 20,000 downloads in the first month of angry moms at school boards grabbed these things, and they went and they filed them in sheriff's offices around the United States, various countries, because I was trying to achieve exactly what you're saying. I was trying to poison the well in the minds of the people who would be tasked with forcing these shots. And it worked in some cases, and it was also the reason why I sued the DOD. I was trying to educate, and did educate, soldiers in the U.S. military that these are illegal orders and here's what they're doing and why. And our plaintiffs class went from 200,000 when I filed suit. It's probably around 500,000 now and is growing. So the exact methodology that you're talking about is precisely what it was we intended, and it seems to be working to some extent.
And can I ask you, is this like, do you know what you explained about the HIV shot, this kind of, you know, like vaccine shot? Do you think this is really basically mostly about like control, you know, getting you on the hook to survive? Or is it, I mean, is there anything that you could imagine that would be like an enhancement, you know, like that you're able to you know, like intake oxygen better so you can basically live on the sea or whatever? Do you see stuff like that also in the pipeline?
For sure. But it's not even a question. So circa 2001, the U.S. government, the Department of Defense in particular, went into the gene therapy business for exactly what it is you are describing. And in 2005, they got a special exclusion from the Department of Justice as it relates to informed consent. It came out in an opinion. And the secretary, who was it? I can't remember who it was. It was the Department of Justice. Anyway, one of the head of the Department of Justice basically said, listen, if for purposes of gene modification, the FDA is no longer involved. Health and Human Services is involved. And for purposes of informed consent that we all know comes from Nuremberg, no longer apply in the traditional sense. All you have to do is let people know that you're doing genetic therapy. That means gene modification. And you don't even have to tell them. You just have to make it so that they could find out. So the U.S. military has been doing gene modification at least since 2005. For exactly what you describe, a super soldier program, whether it's swimming under the ocean or flying, I don't know. But it already exists. And if you look, you type in when you do a search, North Korea super soldiers, you'll see that Kim Jong-un already brought his out and did a demonstration. They're beating these guys with sledgehammers to no avail whatsoever. They seem to be puncture-proof and just extraordinarily durable and fast and probably require less food, something along those lines. So the answer is yes.
Wow.
For sure.
But this means that you can actually transform like a previous normal human being, like during its lifetime, his or her lifetime, into this sort of special forces or like special
yes.
capabilities person. It's not
yes.
like for the next generation, but immediately.
No, it's now. And in fact, there are some scientific studies that show that they can now download information straight into their brains. There was a case the Army did some years ago. They took just a regular old soldier, downloaded information, and he was out flying helicopters later that day. And I happen to be a pilot. I can tell you it takes a long time to master those skills. So that technology already exists, exactly as you described.
So Moderna wasn't joking when they said we can program human beings now.
That's right. That's exactly right. And Charles Lieber was really the guy behind that. He's sitting in jail now. If you look back to his 2009 Harvard study, he was able to atomically weld transistors into the lipid nanoparticles and make them independently responsible, that he could program them. They could move around and become autonomous. And he turned the lipid nanoparticles into nanobots. And with those nanobots, they are able to actually do exactly what you described. They can crawl around in the brain and they can receive information. They can deliver their payloads to one particular part of the body or another. So he was the man that actually made all of that possible, along with Dr. Craig Venter, who's the guy that created synthetic life. He was the guy that sequenced the human genome. And he was able, I think, 3 years ago or so, to sever the heads on some pigs, wait 3 days, and then reanimate the pigs without the heads. They did a study with ferrets relating to coronavirus. They thought that they'd killed the ferrets and buried them, and the ferrets came back to life and dug themselves out. So there is this extra component also of immortality, if you can imagine that. But I have the articles. I'll be happy to send them to you.
That's really very, very creepy. And could you elaborate on what is like biological graphene? So what does that, I mean, what's the point of having this assemble in your body? Is it really just to kill you off with this like 5G
no.
thing? Or?
No, not at all. Well, so three things. Number one, it's extraordinarily conductive. So if a person with graphene hydroxide receives a signal, as I understand it again from our experts, call it a 2 gigahertz signal, they will be able to produce a 1 terahertz signal outbound. They become a battery, and Bill Gates actually has a patent on this, the human battery, and I'll send it to you. So number one, they become generators, electricity generators. Number two, they become sources of intelligence. Everything that person sees, hears, and does is connected through the bionet of things to every other such person and every cell phone tower and, in fact, you know, the cloud. They all become biomachines that are capable of detecting everything, sight, sound, touch, feel, taste, all of that. On top of that, graphene happens to be the single most durable and strong substance on this planet. So when you see Kim Jong-un's super soldiers getting hit with sledgehammers in the head, to no avail, that's why. You can't even puncture graphene in the single molecular layer. Lastly, it is self-assembling. So when you add they call it telephoresis, it's the teslaphorase. When you add an electrical current to graphene oxide or graphene hydroxide, it naturally self-assembles and turns into a conductive circuit. So you're getting all of these things out of the benefit of graphene. There's multiple uses, of course. And then I think, to your point, you know, those people that they don't want to use, they'll just turn them off. Boop. Gone.
And if we're looking at immortality, like for these creatures, like I have two questions. Like, do you think would they still be like breeding like additional human beings? And how are they included in this kind of program? Are they really included? I mean, the ones who are behind all this or whatever, the ones who pull the strings, do you think they like to stay normal human beings, or is this not on the not what they want?
I don't know the answer to that. My sense is that they do have a goal of immortality. How they achieve that immortality, I don't know. And that's something we could look up with Craig Venter. But what I do understand is that they want limited resources on this planet. You know, they've been very clear about that. Bill Gates said, we want to get that number down to zero. Well, you know, the Georgia Guidestones say no more than 500 million. And you look at the sustainable development goals, they want a 95% reduction in the world's population. So as to the owners, my suspicion is that they'll want immortality. I don't know if they'll want the rest of the superpowers or not.
They didn't even succeed to make immortal computers now. So we always have to have updates. Why should they be immortal?
Yeah, true. You know, the Bible talks about it too. Those that take of the mark of the beast will seek to die and not be able to. So as to people who receive the shots, you know, are they going to be human or not? The answer is I don't think so. One other thing to be aware of, that in the nanoparticles, there is also the delivery of CRISPR technology, which is a gene deletion program. And if you look at the serious adverse events of Pfizer on their post-marketing study that came out of the FOIA request that they had to disclose, the number one serious adverse event that came up was the 1p36 gene deletion syndrome. That is a congenital disease that causes the loss of your frontal cortex. That's your reasoning and thinking behavior. It causes facial tics. It causes biting episodes, things of that nature. So the only way a person who wasn't born with that to get it is because there was a gene deletion that occurred in their body. It also appears that they eliminated the VMAT2, which is the God gene, and the PAX5, which is also related to people's spirituality. So it appears as though those that got those particular ingredients, those gene deletion proteins, will not be thinking. They will act very zombie-like, in fact. And they will have certainly no connection to God, no remorse, no conscience whatsoever.
And some people say that they noticed, some doctors or healers say they noticed different behavior with their patients.
Yes.
After the shots, they may be more aggressive or they're less reachable.
Yes.
They just like blink, you know, go whatever, don't really get what they're saying. Also, some healers, told me that they're not able to kind of even reach this person anymore, like on a
yeah.
spiritual or like energetic level. And do you think that's also connected to what you just said?
I do. Yeah, I do. I would highly suspect that those persons had already suffered the 1p36 gene deletion syndrome. What you describe is the very behavior that you would see as a result of that. It's zombification, to be very clear with you. What we do know is that these people have been really good at predictive programming. How many zombie movies have you seen in your life? If you look at CONPLAN 8888, it's the U.S. government's continuity of government plan. In case of a zombie apocalypse, they described five different types of zombies that they might encounter. Every U.S. agency that is NIST compliant, that has had to provide robust protections for their computer system, has undergone zombie apocalypse invasions. The CDC has had a zombie apocalypse preparedness page up on their websites for the last 5 years. Now they've turned it into a cartoon. Go to the Amazon Web Services agreement, and you will see there's a force majeure clause that if there's a zombie apocalypse, we're not liable. There's too much talk about zombies for us to ignore the fact that the 1p36 gene deletion combined with the VMAT2 and PAX5 deletion creates a zombie-like effect in people. I think that they're just telling us what it is they're going to do. Click on your 18 gigahertz signal, and bang, you've got a Marburg zombie apocalypse in process.
I mean, this could also be, I read that they claimed that this is sort of a, for just for educational purposes and really just to get you like interested and like, you know, do this like strategic game kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, might be a pretext, but could also be real that they just want to drag your
attention. I can guarantee you. I could absolutely guarantee you. If you were to look at, and I heard that last week, if you go and look at Conplan 8888, you will see that in the second page they state exactly what you just said. This is just for purposes of exercise. The problem with that, you know, I'm ex-military. I'm representing all these people in the military. I understand how preparation for war works. You practice where you're going to fight and who you're going to fight, always. If you look at the Conplan, it has nothing to do with fighting Ecuador or another country. It has to do with fighting five different types of genetically modified zombies. Some are vaccine zombies. Some are radiation zombies. Some are magic zombies. They have five different types of zombies that they are preparing to fight and practicing to be there. It has nothing to do with territory. It has nothing to do with ideology, counterinsurgency. It is only about zombies. So I understand what it is you're saying. I don't believe it for a second.
And I have one last question. So this shedding thing that basically this spills over from one vaccinated person to another, I mean, depending on maybe what's inside, like what's it's the spike protein or it's whatever, what are your ideas with regards to that problem? Or is that a problem?
Well, it is a problem. It's actually in the protocols, the testing protocols published by Pfizer in particular, talk about taking care of clinicians who are overseeing the trials because of the shedding problem. And when I describe the shedding problem, it's actually worse than it sounds. The person who received the gene modification is now producing this synthetic protein, the S protein. And it's not a complete protein. It's a folded protein. That means that they're actually producing prions. Prions are what cause mad cow disease. The guy who was in charge of AstraZeneca, the CEO, died, what, a year ago of prion disease. So it's not just shedding these S proteins that we can all be, you know, immune from if we've had COVID. It's a bigger and different problem. It's a genetic, not genetic, it's a cognitive problem. Prions eventually eat away at your brain. Dr. Cole actually has a lot of really good evidence on that. He's done a number of biopsies and found the prions actually in the tissues of exposed people and those who had the shot. So it's not speculation as to whether or not this is the case. It's a fact.
But, you know, when we have contact with proteins, we may eat them, we may have contact on your skins, on mucosa, and so our immune system recognizes them when they are strange and defends us against proteins. I'm not so much afraid of proteins. I'm much more afraid of having those nanoparticles being spread, that they then enter the body by contact.
Yeah.
So it's not the proteins, I think. I haven't seen evidence that proteins can that can invade someone.
The prions can. The prions definitely can. There's no two ways about it. We have prion disease all across the United States. Mad cow disease has jumped species into deer and elk and a variety of other things. So I can promise you the prions are an issue. I get your point otherwise, but you know, if it was just shedding protein, we have natural defenses. Yeah. I understand that point. But
you're very, very hard to understand. It's very low. Can you tune up, you know, pump up the volume? Yeah.
Just
yeah, perfect.
You know that the prions, they that we know them from BSE, and we know that they only can make damage when they are incorporated, when they get into the body. If we just should eat them, it wouldn't be very dangerous. So we had very, very few cases, although we had lots of cows, mad cows, and having prions, building prions, but there were very, very few people. Only those who got, for instance, who got organs transplantation, or who got tissue transplantation, they got it.
but this is a very, very rare thing. So I don't see an epidemic of prion diseases in Europe. I haven't heard about it.
What if it was a bodily fluid exchange, like, for instance, biting? If one person were to bite another, would there be such an exchange? And I say that because that is one of the primary issues with the 1p36 gene deletion. Mm. And by the way, in all of the zombie apocalypse scenarios, you will see that there are multinational forces. They all share the same thing, right? They're always defending an airport. They're multinational forces, and the zombies are always fighting.
You know,
that's worth.
There is another thing that if you want to sell a weapon, if you have a patent, you make it very, very serious that everyone needs this weapon to defend against something. there's a lot of business behind, and you have to take away this interest to find out the truth.
True.
So this is why I insist on it. I have critical questions on this.
Those are good ones. I agree your point entirely.
You know, they sell so many dangerous weapons because there are so dangerous enemies, and when there are so many weapons never being used because the situation doesn't really come whether they could be useful.
I wonder, you know, about that. If the owners didn't spend so much time causing us to hate each other, to fear each other, you know, would we spend so much on weaponology? Would we get along okay? My sense, the owners have been in charge for 2,000 years and been controlling us this very same duopoly paradigm.
It's the same as with the corona vaccination. They make us afraid, and then the politicians buy something against it. This is what they do. They do it with,
every time.
They do it with vaccines, and they do it with weapons.
The Hegelian dialectic, as I understand it's called.
Yeah.
So
yeah, good point.
Like, I mean, we just had the how many shots did they order? I think they bought stuff for Germany already until like 2029 or so. Is that correct? So what do you think is that already something that's going to be new stuff, like ever evolving?
Yeah.
What they will then give to the people?
I think so. So in March, I think it's actually March 22, it happened a couple of days ago, and I'll send you the convention. They had in Texas, a convention on the commercialization of these lipid nanoparticles. I'm also going to send you the NASA Warfare Plan, NASA, because they talk about the use of these lipid nanoparticles being able to be crop dusted. You know, they fly over a city, they drop the nanoparticles, they go into people's lungs, they burrow in, and all of a sudden control the human population. This is stuff they talk about. This convention that they had on the 22nd of March was to share the knowledge and technology of commercialization, mass production of these lipid nanoparticles with whatever pathogens, whatever payloads you want to have, in such numbers that they literally now could do exactly as you described and fly over a city and turn everybody into whatever they want to turn.
Yeah. So it's not the Sahara dust, but it's nanoparticles.
Yes, that's exactly correct. Nanobots, in fact.
Nanobots.
They have transistors.
Yeah. Yeah. We could easily analyze the dust and find out
what
it is.
I think it's a super idea. Well, and it's not like they've been hiding it. They've been talking about smart dust for ages. Right. That definitely exists. I think you won't have a hard time finding it.
But as long as they have billions of people vaccinated or injected, they needn't spray something in the air. They just give it directly into the people.
I think so. I don't know exactly why it is, but my sense is that they needed to install the hardware in people first. That you know, there are 3,300 commercial products, foods, that already have these nanoparticles in them. If you're drinking a Pepsi or a Coke, you are ingesting these nanoparticles. They're everywhere. But for whatever reason, our bodies seem to have the ability to repel these, our natural immunity. So my sense is, in order to do the hardware installation, they had to give people the HIV proteins in order to disarm our natural immunity. And that was the key part of these shots. And thereafter, I suppose they can deliver their software upgrades any way they want to, but it's probably most efficient just to shoot them in with a shot.
Well, that is quite a horror show.
Yeah, it is. I'm sorry that that's the case. I am going to send you a lot of information that backs up everything.
Yeah, please do that. Please do that. We have to dig into
it. I'm preparing
it
now. Yeah.
Because this is as horrific as it is, but we have to know about it. We have to get into the details of this in order to be able to, well, at least get an idea of how dangerous, I mean, it's obviously very, very, very dangerous, and what can we do about it?
Yeah. So,
do you know of any way to, is there any, the scientists and doctors who you work with, have they come up with any ideas of how to counteract, of how to flush this out of your system, or
yes.
Does no one know anything?
Uh-huh. No, they are. Dr. Lee Leet is actually really one of the pioneers in all of this, and she's working on that diligently to flush these out. I can tell you right now what the early candidates are. My understanding is that chlorine dioxide strips away the transistors, the welded transistors onto the box. Chlorine dioxide is fairly common. It's what they call a universal cure. I also understand carbon 60 will capture some of these. She's also talked about some chelated materials that they put into an IV, and I'll get her to talk to you about that. And I'm also volunteering, by the way. All of my expert witnesses are happy to talk to you. They're happy to provide you whatever information it is that you require. So my experts are your experts. And whistleblowers.
Okay,
great.
I have one more question. Like, when you think about these, you know, now we have the terrestrial G5 towers, and we also have the satellite thing. So what's the point?
Right.
I mean, what's the difference?
I think it's a function of which frequency they're broadcasting on. So, for instance, when we talk about 5G, that's just a range of frequencies, 2 gigahertz up to 300 gigahertz, and they do different things, and they have different ranges. What's really troubling about it, really to your point, is that these cell phone towers out here, these 5G towers, have 300 gigawatts of energy. That's 3 megawatts. Gigahertz. Anyway, I get it wrong. 300,000 watts. That is 3 megawatts. That is enough to run a small city, 50, 60,000 people, in each and every one of these towers. They are beaming microwave energy, the same stuff you cook food with. They're beaming all the time, and we've got demonstrations of plants and animals, birds falling out of the sky from these signals as it is. These are the powerful ones. These are the strong ones, and it's because apparently at this wavelength, they don't travel very far, and apparently they're easily obstructed. The ones in space, they may be called 5G, but we really don't know what frequency they're broadcasting on. The longer the wave, the further the distance the signal travels. What we do know is there's supposed to be 20,000 of them up there, and that every single part of this planet is going to receive coverage. But it's also important to note, and I'm going to send it to you, from 1976, the U.S. government, the Defense Intelligence Agency, already did all this work for us. They've already told us what frequencies do what things to people, all the way from a half a hertz can affect our mentality if we're happy or sad, even pain levels, all the way up to 300 gigahertz. And you might have seen Australia, they use the active denial system, which operates at 96 gigahertz, and it actually burned the protesters. They literally cooked the protesters, and that was at about a 500-meter distance. So the strength of the tower and the signal are really what guide where they're putting them and what it is they do, and we don't know what those ones in space are doing. We don't even know what these ones are. In the United States, there's no law on this. OSHA, you know, has some limits that if you're going to work around these things, you have to wear protective gear or turn them off. Other than that, there is no protection. In fact, when we studied this, our law firm studied this, we found out in 2019 that in many states, they made it a crime for city council members to vote against the implementation of 5G. There are no standards whatsoever. They could cook us all day long, and there's not a damn thing we could do about it. What can we do it? If you look at Wuhan, 21 million people, they either ditched their cell phones or they terminated their 5G service in the month of November. So that might be a guide to us. And some of our experts are saying that our phones, our 5G phones, are targeting systems. And I think that's what the Chinese figured out. They just ditched their phones and, you know, some died from COVID, some didn't. But it's that radiation poisoning that will mimic almost any disease that you can think of, they can create with this electromagnetic radiation. I'm going to send you the Defense Intelligence Agency's paper on the subject.
Would it also be possible to cure? I mean, if you weren't of evil mind, you could also cure with these towers?
Absolutely. And we've got an expert by the name of John Waterman. He was on, in fact, let me tell you that we were on Caravan to Midnight is the Fortnite intelligence report. I effectively tried my case. I was copying you all and trying my case in the court of public opinion on Saturday night. And I called my expert witnesses to testify. And that's what they did. John Waterman talked exactly to that point. The royal rife frequencies, some of these are harmonic and they cure, other ones will kill you. And we actually have that information as well. I'm happy to share that. Again, my experts are yours. If you want to listen to the whole program, just 3 hours worth of expert testimony, I'm happy to send that to you as well.
Very, very good. Yeah, we must look into this. We must give this a deep dive because this is so important. Please send everything you can.
Sure.
Well, thank you so much. That was very interesting.
It's really my pleasure. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not the best. Look, just before I run, I'm going to let you know something. I am working on a legal basis to turn off the 5G towers. I think I can do it by virtue of criminal law. The Australians have had some success with that, and I'll keep you updated on what luck I'm having. But I'm starting to get some traction inside, believe it or not, the Department of Defense and various law enforcement agencies, because they're coming to recognize this issue. So the more you all can get this out into the public mind, the more we can demand action, and the higher the chance of success are that we're going to be able to stop this using laws that we already have.
Yeah, we'll do the best we can to spread all this. I think many, many millions of people will watch this because this is just incredible.
Yeah, I wish it weren't so.
Yeah, me too. Okay, well, Todd, it's a pleasure under the circumstances.
Yeah, likewise.
We must stay connected, obviously, and I think there'll be there will be a cooperation. We'll be in touch, and we need to do something together.
Great. I look forward to it. Really,
thank
pleasure.
You very, so very kindly.
Luc Montagnier won a Nobel Prize for his groundbreaking work on HIV in 2008. He died, bless his heart, rest in peace. He died a few months ago, but one of the last things he tweeted was the double vaxxed and boosted should check themselves for HIV. I think that's almost verbatim what he said. And here we have, lo and behold, and I just want you to listen to this. This is from from the expose over in the UK. Whilst you've been distracted by Russia, Ukraine, the UK government quietly published data confirming the triple vaccinated are just weeks away from developing acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Let that sink in. Acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Eight. And one of the people I thought about when I saw this, because she's a frontline doctor, seeing it in her own practice, is Dr. Elizabeth Eads. And Dr. Eads, thanks for joining us today on USAWatchdog.com. Are you now starting to see acquired immune deficiency syndrome from people who have been vaxxed?
Well, thanks for having me today, Greg. And yes, we are seeing vaccine-related acquired immune deficiency in the hospital now from the triple vax.
This is not some small deal. I mean, Luc Montagnier, one of his last tweets he put out, will get tested for HIV or acquired immune deficiency syndrome. This is awful. You can't take a pill and get rid of it, right? This is a vax injury. Am I right?
It is a vax injury, and we're not really certain how to treat this. We're kind of throwing the kitchen sink at it. We're throwing antiretrovirals at it. We're throwing interferon at it. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, antiparasitics that are in study right now. We're trying to use everything that we can think of to boost up the CD4, CD8 counts and reverse this collapse, this calamity of immune collapse. It's very stunning.
You were talking in past interviews, and you said, listen, here's the way the math goes with this. First shot, generally speaking, is you lose, 20%, then you lose a little bit, a bigger percent, and then the booster. And even Dr. Michael Yaden, before the very first shot was getting, whatever you do, don't get the, he called it a top-up, I think, don't get the booster, whatever you do. And you got a special name for the booster that you're seeing it in action. The people who are double vaccine boosted, that's your term is the kill shot. Did they get that right?
The kill shot, the money ball, whatever you want to call it, it is just devastating to the immune system. And I'll tell you why it's devastating. If you look at the Stanford study, and I'm just going to read a couple sentences from the Stanford study to you. The spike protein in the COVID-19 vaccines that everyone is talking about is called the lentivirus. The lenti contains a combination of HIV types 1 through 3, SRV/1, which is AIDS, MERS, and SARS. In the Stanford study, the best known lentivirus is the human immune deficiency pathogen, which causes AIDS. This is why we are seeing autoimmune and neurodegenerative decline after COVID-19, especially the booster. This is a condition known as prion, and the mRNA from the lentivirus cocktail is inserted into the DNA of human cells through an invasive procedure, injection, and permanently changes the genome of the cell. That is why this is terrifying to us in the medical community, because we just don't know how to attack.
I mean, a lot of people can have a hard time putting their head around this, that you got acquired immune deficiency syndrome because it was put in the vaccines, the quote, the injections, the inoculations. Is that what you're telling me?
That's exactly what I'm telling you. That's what the spike lentivirus is. It is made up of HIV and AIDS, along with SARS and MERS, and that's why the vaccinated and boosted are so sick. That's why they dominate the hospitalizations regarding COVID illness right now as well.
When people find out this little piece of information, they're going to be angry. I mean, you don't have to draw a big picture and say, oh, yeah, the vaccines that you got for shot 1, shot 2, and the booster, you now have acquired immune deficiency syndrome. You have AIDS. How do you feel? I mean, people are going to be upset, are they not? I mean, you could die from somebody coughing on you.
Correct. And what that does is it actually drops the CD4 and the CD8 counts, which are integral in fighting off infection. And now some pretty wise physicians are checking those CD8, CD4 counts and white cell counts and doing the peripheral smears and looking for this, along with D-dimer tests looking for the clots. So we're seeing it, we're recognizing it, and now we're trying to aggressively treat for opportunistic infections. And those infections could be pneumonia, could be fungal infections, herpes, CMV, salmonella, TB, mycobacterium. There are a number of things that can happen when you have no CD8 and no CD4 cells to keep even cancer cells in check. You're going to have a rise in cancers such as B-cell lymphoma, cervical cancer, head and neck cancer, anal cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, Hodgkin's, skin cancers, and testicular cancers. And let me tell you, Dr. Ryan Cole is a very prominent pathologist, and he's receiving slides from all over the country for unusual cancers. And he's seen a 2,000% rise in cancer since the onset of these COVID shots.
Oh boy, he was a while back. He was saying 20 times. Now it's 2,000%.
2,000.
Now, you know, every week I have people, and this is anecdotal, right? Because I'm not a doctor, right? I pretend to be one, but I'm just saying this is kind of an unusual thing. Every week I have, you know, my uncle, my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, my friend, somebody I knew, somebody. And, you know, they took the shot one or they took the shot two. And a month later, one guy wrote me and said a month later that he had stage four cancer. What was it? The cancer in the center of your body. What is it? And it's usually lethal. What is it? Not cervical cancer. It's begins with a C. Anyway, stage four cancer.
Oh, the colorectal cancer?
No,
the
other cancer. A cancer that, people get it, they just die. What is it? Stage four, not cervical.
Oh, pancreatic?
Pancreatic cancer. I said, you know, he got it. He had no cancer history. He's 72. He just had a checkup. A month after he had his second shot or booster or what, I don't know, I don't remember exactly what, but he had the stage four pancreatic cancer. And he's gonna die in a week. I'm like, and that's what Ryan Cole talked about, these cancers, this aggressive, you know, explosion, right? I mean, it's because there's no immune, people don't realize you have things in your body that fight cancer and all kinds of things, right?
Sure, the red blood cells, the natural killer cells, the CD8, the CD4, and I have some stunning numbers from the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database Attorney Renz and the whistleblowers uncovered. Look at these numbers. I'm just going to read a few cancers. Malignant neoplasm of the esophagus, up 794%. Malignant neoplasm of digestive organs, that's like stomach, colon, pancreas, up 524%. Breast cancer, up 387%. Neoplasms of the thyroid and endocrine glands, up 374%. Ovarian cancer, up 537%. Testicular cancer, up 269%. And these are numbers from 2021 till moving forward till they report it, which was just a few months ago.
Just so people know, this is like the vaccine adverse event reporting system, but in the military, you're required. But you're required to report it.
They are required. And what they did after they discovered that Thomas Renz and the whistleblowers had the data, they scrubbed the data and actually altered it, which is totally against the law. And Thomas Renz has that data as well, showing the changes. And I'm sure that they'll be brought up on fraud charges for that.
I mean, you have Lloyd Austin, who's been double vaxxed and boosted getting COVID. He should be, one of the whistleblowers, Pierre Corey, was saying just at Fort Bragg, they've had more than 80 deaths from the vax in 2021. Just at Fort Bragg in North Carolina.
In normal, healthy, young men who are among the most fit in America, it just doesn't happen.
It's just unbelievable. And with this acquired immune deficiency syndrome, I want to circle around back to that. I have a lot of family members that got this. And if you just got two shots, are you still at risk for acquired immune deficiency syndrome?
Well, it depends on the individual's immune system. It depends on whether they got one of the 5% lethal injections, number one. Number two, it depends on their immune system. There are ways to boost your immune system and boost up your white blood cell count as well as your red cells.
But when you have these vaccines, I mean, you basically either you got sick immediately or you're going to get sick. That's my read. My read as a journalist is, well, either you get sick now or you get sick later, but you're going to get sick at some point. Is that a good read?
That's correct. That's a wonderful read. We know that 50% of the people that had adverse reactions, the top 50% had it in the first 2 days. They had it immediately. And then the rest of the reactions, 80% of those happened within weeks, the first 2 weeks of having that injection. The problem is, Greg, is that the spike protein has been found in lymph nodes on autopsy and biopsy up to 17 months. So we don't know what the end point of the manufacturing of the spike protein is. We're trying to figure that out. But 17 months of making spike protein, which causes blood clots, immune deficiency, autoimmune disorders, and dysregulates cancers, those results may not come for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. We just don't know.
One of the things that we've talked about, and I want to get into, first of all, I want to talk about the real thing first. I mean, the real thing is taking ivermectin, okay? Dr. Pierre Corey swears by it. Of course, he has the FLCCC.net website. Dr. Pierre Corey, one of the co-founders, the Frontline COVID Critical Care Alliance a website. He says ivermectin is a must-have drug to as an anti inflammatory and antiviral, and it will bind to the spike proteins and remove them. Should everybody who's been vaxxed or unvaxxed be taking ivermectin?
Well, I believe so. I recommend it for everybody to have in their home kit, ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. They are proven. We have 60 years of hydroxychloroquine studies. We have 30 years of studies for ivermectin, with very few deaths in ivermectin. Even at extremely high doses, ivermectin is safe. And it is in study right now for cancer. They both are, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, in study for cancer and many other ailments. So I highly recommend those that have had the boosters take ivermectin prophylactically. And I recommend it, and I use compounding pharmacies to get it to patients.
One of the things that that's come out, and they must, my read on this is, wow, they must be worried. I mean, here we have the Wall Street Journal, who, you know, said nothing about the fraud of the election, nothing about that didn't happen. They gave no warning about how this is all experimental vaccines, that they have no warning about, just look at the VAERS data, 24,000 dead, tens of thousands injured. Pericarditis in 2021 was 24,000 roughly. In the first 8 weeks, it's 11, almost 12,000. What a trend that is. But not a word about that from the Wall Street Journal. But what they do tell you is warn you, hey, ivermectin doesn't work, in one of their latest articles. And it seems to me if Pierre Corey is saying, wow, 800,000 people were basically could have lived. In other words, wait, whoa, 800,000 people were murdered? That's my word. But the Wall Street Journal, ivermectin did not reduce COVID hospitalization, says study shows. Please, what's up with it? It sounds like a article planted out of desperation that the all the doctors that withheld this don't look like Mengele, Joseph Mengele. I'm sorry. Tell me about, do you believe this study that they had up in, I believe it's in Canada, that the Wall Street Journal's reporting on, that ivermectin just doesn't work. This puts an end to it all. One study. What do you think about that, doctor?
Well, it's not factual. That's a disinformation campaign. They're not quoting the science. If you just go back and look at the early COVID study and you actually click on that COVID study that was funded by Fauci and the NIH, you'll see a table in there, and in that table, it lists all the medications that were tried in that study. And lo and behold, remdesivir is at the bottom. Ivermectin is 42% effective. Regeneron was 52% effective. Above that was interferon, which we don't even have available. And 42% effective. Regeneron was at the bottom of the table. I mean, that's
Remdesivir.
Yes.
Remdesivir. Yep. So, but other doctors that have, Pierre Corey says, if you do ivermectin early enough, it might reduce hospital stays 85-90%.
I agree with that. I've used it successfully. I've treated over 4,000 patients. I haven't lost a case, and that's been all outpatient, nursing home, home, house calls. a telehealth. And early treatment is the key. And I agree with them. I think the numbers are into the low 90s in preventing hospitalization.
You're talking about using ivermectin.
Ivermectin.
Your personal experience.
Absolutely. And with Omicron, I've been using ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine combined together because there's a certain people, including the vaxxed, that the ivermectin, even in higher doses of 0.8 milligrams per kilogram, wasn't working. So I added hydroxychloroquine and some other medications that have been proven in papers and studies.
Yeah, and they withheld life-saving drugs. They murdered people. In my mind, that's what happened. I'm sorry, but they withheld drugs that worked, and they let people die. I would call that murder.
It is murder, and that's not only on Big Pharma. That's on pharmacies and pharmacists as well, and the pharmacy boards, and certain state medical boards. It is just criminal. It's fraud, and I believe they will be prosecuted.
Tell me about what you've run into with the media. I mean, here we have the you know, the Wall Street Journal, which they didn't even mention Uttar Pradesh, you know, the province in India, which is well written about, but you know, PolitiFact, you know, which is political propaganda fact, says, oh, that didn't work. Oh, that doesn't work. They just come out, oh, this doesn't work. You know, some writer that's 25 years old that they've hired that will just lie, make stuff up. No journalism, no science, but your experience with the press, they just lie. I can't get around it. They just lie, do they not? Is that your experience?
The press, whether it's national TV, cable TV, or newspapers, are in a disinformation propaganda campaign. They are not printing the truth. And you can only find the truth by doing your own due diligence and having discernment and reading the articles, the patents, the studies on your own. That is the only way you're going to get the truth.
Or listen to USA Watchdog when Dr. Elizabeth Eads comes on, or Dr. Pierre Corey or whatever. One of the things that I think is bizarro world is Haley Bieber, Justin Bieber's wife, has a stroke, and the press covers it like, oh, young people are having strokes all the time in their 20s. She's not worried about getting pregnant and worried about the world and Ukraine. And now she had a stroke. It's okay. Is that right?
Very, very rare. And she was vaccinated. And the correlation between the vaccines and the blood clots is very, very high. We've proven it. Whether you're looking at autopsy reports, whether you're looking at prominent doctors like Dr. Cole, who is doing slides and looking at blood, or you're listening to the coroners who are pulling these blood clots out of veins and arteries, and very unusual blood clots, there is a very high correlation between these vaccines and blood clots. And whether that blood clot goes and causes a stroke or a heart attack, it's real. It is really happening.
The media is trying to paint that's a common occurrence. More and more young people are getting blood clots. Well, I would think they're leaving out a little piece of information. More and more young people who have been double and triple vaxxed are getting blood clots, are they not?
Yes. And it's very rare. Look,
it's very rare to get it without being vaxxed.
It's very rare without being vaxxed that a young person would get a blood clot. And unless they had a clotting deficiency, which is, you know, 1 in 2 million cases, or they were smoking on a birth control pill, which is, again, 1 in 1 million cases, the incidence of blood clots in young people is negligible. We just don't see it in the hospital.
And because she got a blood clot, the press is like, don't worry about this. No, that has nothing to do with the vax. I don't understand this. I mean, the press all got vaxxed. But here they come out to paint this picture that Haley Bieber, wasn't the vax. They don't even mention it. Right?
Yeah, they don't. they don't mention the vax because those of us who study and the American people that are reading, once they hear vax, they are now correlating and questioning. And that's important. Question everything. You know, this person had the vax, and that's a very unusual side effect. So maybe I should do my research on that. Again, another deterrent for young people to not take these shots.
They don't need them, right? I mean, young people are the people that, and we have this hysteria going on where, you know, young people have to have a mask on. They're freaking out. I mean, they are entraining these people with these masks and this idea that you have to be vaccinated, which is a giant human experiment. I mean, this really is in reality a giant human experiment. And what do we have now? Pfizer and Moderna, one in shot number four, and Birla, the CEO of Pfizer, you didn't get much protection in those first two shots. What? I thought it was 95%. Tell me about what you think about the shot number four for Moderna and for Pfizer. What do you think about that?
Well, let's just think about why so many shots, Greg. So the efficacy is clearly not there for this vaccine, and it clearly doesn't prevent COVID. So why are we even talking about additional shots if the protection is waning and people are getting COVID and people are getting immune deficiency or vaccine-induced AIDS? Why are we even talking about more shots? In addition to that, young people have a 99.98% chance of recovery. This is ridiculous that he would come out and ask for another booster. And by the way, are they even talking about those boosters covering the new variants? Absolutely not. These boosters aren't covering any new variants.
And then here we have, here's another one that I think's bizarre. And they don't mention a thing about it. Here we have top official dies unexpectedly. It's just like, oh, they just died in their sleep. Here's another one from, hold on, let me get back with this. Here we go. Metro health official, I think this is in Louisville, Sarah Beth Hartledge, I think she was all of 36 years old. She was behind the vax for the area there. Sarah Beth Hartledge just dies unexpectedly, but they don't talk about anything. They don't talk about these people dying in their sleep, kids dying in their sleep, people dying on the field, people just, you know, were they doing drugs? No. Were they robbed? No. Were they beat up? No. Were they cooking meth? No. They just died.
No, we're up to over 300 athletes that have collapsed from the vax. I think we're over 108 soccer players dead, all vaccinated.
I mean, this is unbelievable.
Right.
I mean,
It's stunning, and yet they continue to the CDC, right? First of all, the pharmacies, the big pharma, aren't allowed to advertise under emergency use authorization. So we're pouring the CDC, BlackRock, Vanguard, which supports the CDC, they're pouring big bucks into advertising these shots, still billions of dollars. And the CDC is the advertising arm for these big pharma companies. And you can see on whether it's Fox News, ABC, NBC, they're still advertising these vaccines. The Hollywood stars are still pushing these vaccines. And it is just disgusting that they're still pushing these vaccines. We have basically, for every 22,000 vaxxed, we only prevent one COVID death. Those numbers are ridiculous. That is, just one death cancels this vax. This is ridiculous. 17 people in the placebo group in the Pfizer study died. 21 in the vax group died. So that's a 23% rise in all-cause mortality. That would have killed any other FDA approval of a drug, and yet here we are still pushing a killer shot. It is incredibly disturbing.
Fourth shot, you would strongly suggest people not to take the fourth shot.
Absolutely not. You know, look what's happening in Israel. They're on their fourth shot, and their mortality numbers are incredibly high. Their numbers are very similar to this UK study for morbidity and mortality and acquired immunodeficiency. Very similar to this UK study.
Well,
the Canadian study was very similar too, by the way.
Well, the problem with all this is that the executives and all the employees at Moderna and Pfizer and the CDC and Congress and the Senate House and all their staff and the people at the FDA, they are all exempt. The post office, exempt. They're all exempt. It's so great they're exempt.
That's collusion.
It's
fraud.
I mean, Alphabet finally put an end to it. You know, quietly, I think on the first or second day of the Russia and Ukraine conflict, you know, the head of Alphabet said, "Hey, that we're done, no more." You know, I mean, anyway.
Well, the World Court tribunals are going on right now with Reiner Fulmich, and those indictments are going to be served very soon. And that's for Fauci and Gates and Soros and CDC and NIH and the whole lot of them are going to be served indictments. And I believe we've proven fraud in many ways. We've proven fraud in the VAERS system, which was supposed to be maintained according to the 1986 documentation that said it must be accurate and maintained. Well, we can see the underreporting factor with just the VAERS system is 41. So you have to multiply the deaths and the adverse reactions by 41 to get accurate numbers. And that's fraud. And fraud vitiates, gets rid of the emergency use and the use of VAERS altogether. So we've also known from the early COVID study that the safety committee really wanted to pick ivermectin. Had they chosen ivermectin, we would not have emergency use authorization for any of these shots. And again, fraud has been proven regarding the choice by Anthony Fauci of remdesivir over ivermectin. And these therapeutics have been proven and chosen, and they were shot down by Anthony Fauci and the CDC, which, by the way, the CDC is a private company. It's not a government-run company. Its shareholders are majority big-box companies, including BlackRock and Vanguard. So they have a huge financial interest, and they're making billions of dollars from these products. So, you know, there's fraud, and we've proven the fraud. This should be over already, and people should be arrested already.
What do you suppose, I mean, telling people that they made the wrong decision start family feuds. But I think this is when people find out, oh yeah, likely you got acquired immune deficiency syndrome. When people find out they got AIDS, I think people are going to go crazy.
They're going to go nuts. Families are going to probably take the law into their own hands, which I don't condone, but, you know, these people that gave these shots will not be able to walk down the street. And if the local pharmacists that gave the shots, they're not going to be able to walk down the street. it's going to maybe lead to, which I don't want it to, but it could lead to a civil war. I mean, the country's already divided, vaxxed against unvaxxed, and it's disgusting. And you know, human behavior, you can't stop that. If somebody is harmed and their family member's harmed, whether they're killed with the remdesivir CDC protocol in the hospital or they're killed by this killer bioweapon shot, families are not going to stand for that. They're not going to wait around for filing a lawsuit. Right now, the pharmaceutical companies under the emergency use authorization have full indemnity. They have protection. But if we prove fraud, that protection goes away, and we will be able to sue. However, there are, I think, about 73,000 lawsuits against the vaccine manufacturers already in the pipeline. And I think people know that the fraud's going to be proven in their filing. So, you know, that's happening right now.
Let's just get into a little future casting here. So you're already seeing, this article here from
the UK Health Security Agency.
Go ahead.
The article from the UK Health Security Agency.
Yes, the UK government quietly publishes data confirming the triple vaccinator just weeks away from developing acquired immune deficiency syndrome. When do you think this is going to be in full bloom where everybody realizes, what, I got AIDS? And they do tests. You're the tip of the spear. So you're seeing it now. How bad is this going to get next month, the next month, this month, by fall, by the end of the year? How bad is this going to get?
Well, I think from April through the summer, you're going to start to see more cases diagnosed of AIDS, especially in the 18 to 39 category. And I think in the categories in the middle, I think it's in their 40s and 50s, probably over the next year, you'll start to see immune systems collapse. And from this study, they're saying that vaccinated people from age 30 to 70 have now lost up to 70% of their immune system capabilities. That's after the booster, and I agree with that. I talked to you about those numbers in the past.
And what study is that? That's
the UK study.
UK study. 70%, holy cow. And you think, and this doesn't stop at, oh, you lost 70%. You say that the vaccine keeps taking away your immune system until you are left with nothing.
That's correct. Because the spike protein is consistently made, and the spike protein's depleting the CD8 and the CD4 cells, as well as destroying the red blood cells. And when you have destruction of the red blood cells, that's why these long-haul COVID cases and these people that are post-vaccine having COVID get so short of breath. It's because the spike protein, the graphene, destroy the red cells and basically suffocate.
Now, if you're unvaxxed and you're around, because I know many people where the wife took it or the husband took it and the wife didn't. If you're unvaxxed, you are at risk from the vaccinated. Am I wrong?
No, you're correct. We know in the Pfizer studies, there is proof in reading the Pfizer studies that they wanted men and women and pregnant women and breastfeeding women to stay away from those newly vaccinated for 2 to 4 weeks. It was proven that they were concerned about transmission in the early studies, and we now have proof that transmission is occurring, not only in the blood work, but we're having babies die from moms who were breastfeeding who just received the vaccine. And so the spike protein is being passed from breast milk, from intimate contact, from sexual contact, as well as respiratory contact, the spike protein. We also know that in the NASA whistleblower studies, which I've read, which you can find on Carrie Cassidy's site, Project Camelot, she interviewed a NASA whistleblower, and that whistleblower has confirmed that the spike nano can be aerosolized, and that sticks to the skin, penetrates the skin, and gets into the bloodstream as well. And spike and nano have been discovered on slides. I have slides that clearly show red blood cells with graphene attached to it, nano organizing into AI lattice-like structures in the blood.
That's for the vaxxed. Even for the unvaxxed, I mean, I guess less for the unvaxxed, but what do you do?
No, for the unvaxxed, we see spike. We see spike in blood samples. You can see the red blood cell, and surrounding the red blood cell, you can see the spike protein, and you can see the clots that are forming from the spike protein. And we know that when people have transmission and they're forming clots, we do a D-dimer test, and it's very elevated. D-dimer test tests for early blood clots. So we're seeing transmission, and we're seeing women bleeding with menstrual periods who didn't have the vaccine, but they're around a partner or they're around a coworker that had the vaccine, and they continuously bleed. We're seeing young girls having menstrual cycles that shouldn't have had their menstrual cycles, babies having vaginal bleeding. So there's evidence of spike transmission, and that's been proven.
And the best thing that anybody could do, vaxxed or unvaxxed, and I'm getting this from Pierre Corey, but I want to get it from you, ivermectin. Ivermectin is going to be the wonder drug of today and the future. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely correct. And I highly recommend that if I myself take ivermectin twice a week, because I'm around a lot of vaccinated patients, I do that as a prophylactic routine, but I recommend it as well for people in high-risk professions such as medicine, dental, people that are around a lot of vaccinated workers in nursing homes, hospice. I recommend 2 to 3 times a week ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine.
Or both.
Or both, correct.
I mean, you can't hurt yourself with ivermectin, right? I mean, a lot of people are taking the horse medication, and they tell me it's 9 milligrams per 100 pounds, and that little syringe, you put out 200 pounds, you got 18 milligrams. Is that the standard dose, 9 milligrams per 100 pounds? You're talking about kilograms, but I'm talking about English here.
I don't practice veterinary medicine, and I don't recommend the pace, but, you know, I don't blame people who don't have access to ivermectin for using the pace. And by the way, you can use really high levels of ivermectin and not have any a death or mortality. The side effect you'll get is a little bit of nausea and diarrhea. But the amount of deaths in America over the lifetime use of ivermectin over the last 30 years is only 4 deaths. And I don't think they were directly attributed to ivermectin, but some underlying comorbidities.
You're talking about something like 4 billion doses given to humans.
It's probably closer to 8 billion doses, because you have to factor in all of the doses we've been giving during COVID. So you're talking 4 deaths and over 8 billion doses. That's a pretty good track record, I would say.
Yeah, Pierre Corey said it was, he said, well, the math is 9 milligrams per 100 pounds. So if you get a, you know.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. I'm using, in my case.
Well, the pills, the pills come out in milligrams. And so you get 3, 6 milligrams. You're a 200-pound guy. You think, well, how much should I take? Well, the standard dose is
I'm actually recommending 0.8 for acute illness, 0.8 milligrams per kilogram for acute illness.
What does that mean in pounds? How many?
So you have to take your weight in pounds and divide by 2.24 to get kilograms. So I dose 0.4 milligrams per kilogram as a prophylactic, and I'm dosing now 0.8.
Oh, double.
I double it.
So basically, so for somebody with a horse bane, I'm just trying to, because a lot of people have horse bane, and I know you don't recommend it either, but Dr. Porch is saying, I can see why people, they're getting cut off. So you're saying that if you're sick, you go from 9 milligrams per 100 pounds, because the pills come in 3 milligram pills, generally 3 or 6, 9 to 6 milligrams per 100 pounds. Double it.
Yeah, I double it. Mm-hmm.
Boy. This is, well, anybody, whether you're, and even if you're vaxxed, you really need to take ivermectin.
Oh, absolutely. I highly recommend it.
Why do you take ivermectin? Corey says it binds to the spike proteins. Do you agree?
It does. It binds to the spike protein and allows the macrophages to completely surround the spike, suffocate it, and remove it from the body.
And hydroxychloroquine, does that do any good? Or NAC, what other things can people take to remove? Evidently, the evil is the spike protein. What else can people do? What else do you recommend?
Hydroxychloroquine as well. I recommend glutathione. I recommend NAC as well. They're antioxidant. The glutathione actually helps with cellular repair, increase metabolism in the cells, which then helps to stop the destruction of other cells in the body. Glutathione is in studies for cancer now. There are some other studies out on some other anti-parasitic medications that are in study, not just for parasites and viruses, but for cancers that we're seeing as a result of this spike protein dysregulating cancers. So, there's a lot of great studies right now, and those products will be coming available here to us. I believe that we should also consider interferon. I know Judy Mikovits in her early HIV studies recommended interferon, and I believe that will become available as well.
Are they going to have to? I mean, of course, all the propagandists point to, they don't want to give you ivermectin. They want to tell you, if they don't tell you it's harmful, they just say, this doesn't work, right? I mean, are they going to have to succumb to it does work? You should be giving it. You shouldn't be cutting this off from people, right? Are they going to have to give it?
Absolutely. Now, look, there's legislation in multiple states now mandating that pharmacists dispense it. There are actually laws that the governors are now having to put in place to make it available. Now, if you go on to Pierre Corey's site, flccc.net, there's a whole list of doctors and pharmacists and compounding pharmacists where you can locate ivermectin so that your doctor can call it in. And there are plenty of doctors doing telehealth that will call that in, from frontline doctors to flccc.net. There's plenty, myfreedoctor.com as well, doctors that will write it. But on Pierre Corey's site, you can actually find doctors in your state and call them, and they'll call it in for you.
I do have people saying they're buying the horse paste. They're giving themselves 9 milligrams per 100 pounds. Are they at risk? And it's just ivermectin 1.87, I believe.
Are they at
risk if they're taking just ivermectin for horses? Is it the exact same thing, exact same dose?
It is. And basically, the compounding pharmacies will use something similar to that to compound the pills. The beauty of the compounding pharmacies is that they take the raw material and they can make a paste or they can make a pill. And what's nice about the compounding pharmacies is I can call them and I can say, look, I need a 25 milligram, one tablet made up, and they'll make that tablet up. If I go to a box store like Walgreens or Walmart or CVS or Eckerd's, they have to take a handful of 3-milligram tablets, and they're often not even in stock. So, I mean, that's crazy. So I love the compounding pharmacies, and I highly recommend locating a compounding pharmacy in your state.
And get ivermectin. The dream drug is ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, HCQ, glutathione. Whether you've been vaxxed or unvaxxed, particularly the vaxxed, I feel sorry. Listen, I feel sorry for the people who have been vaxxed. The PSYOP was, and still going on with the Wall Street Journal, that doesn't work. Ivermectin doesn't work. The PSYOP is unbelievable. The disinformation campaign is unbelievable. I feel sorry. But people who have been vaxxed can help themselves. So, number one, stop getting the stupid shots.
Oh, absolutely. And get with a doctor who is on the front line of treating vax injuries. And you can find that from any of those sites. You can find those from the flccc.net site. You can find it from My Free Doctor. You can call America Frontline Doctors. Even Sherry Tenpenny is now in the works of setting up specialty clinics, as well as Simone Gold, who has just moved to Naples here in Florida, and she is setting up specialty clinics here in Florida. So the availability to get that specialty treatment and to get in with doctors that know the new medications, the new studies, the new medicines in studies, and are using them, you have a better shot of recovering from the immune deficiencies that we're seeing.
And even if you haven't, well, you know, I feel great so far. Even if you haven't had any injury so far, isn't your body still making spike proteins, generally speaking? Don't you need to have ivermectin even if you feel well? Or am I wrong?
No, I believe that if you got real vaccine from a booster, again, we don't know what the percentage until we see these FOIA requests and the rest of the Pfizer dump. We don't know what's in these boosters. That's the evilness about these boosters. We don't know what they put in there. But you should protect yourself because the spike protein has been found on autopsy and in surgical biopsies of lymph nodes up to 17 months.
Even if you've had just two shots, forget the boosters, one, two shots.
Yeah, even if you have two shots.
You're making...
Now you're giving twice as the amount in a booster. So that's another 17 months of making spike protein. So that the effects of that could be years. So you may feel great now, but in 1 year, maybe you'll develop cancer, or 2 years or 3 years, or maybe you'll develop an autoimmune disorder, or maybe you'll develop MS or Lou Gehrig's or, you know, another neurological complication, or infertility. You know, maybe the spike is attacking the ovaries and testicles very slowly, and you won't see that in young women and young men until they try to have a baby and their sperm is impaired or their ovum, their eggs are impaired. And we're seeing that in vitro clinics now. Young people are going because they can't get pregnant. They're having ovum and sperm analysis, and it's bizarre non-functioning sperm and non-functioning eggs. It's devastating. Greg, this is devastating. And they're attacking our young people.
So, vaxxed or unvaxxed, ivermectin, that'd be the message, at least one of the drugs that you use, a must-have drug, ivermectin. Even if you feel great, you should have it.
Everybody should have ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine in their home kit, everyone. They should have vitamin D, they should have NAC, they should have quercetin or glutathione if they can find it. They should have zinc, vitamin C, and they should exercise, build up their immune system, and eat healthy foods that produce oxygen. So those are foods like green leafy vegetables, you know, blueberries. There are food groups that increase the immune system. They increase the oxygen for repair of the immune system. So eating healthy is very important.
Dr. Elizabeth Eads, thank you for coming on. I know I kept you were running. I just let it go because it's information. A lot of people, like, I feel sad because I shorter videos get more plays, but with something like this, it's so complicated.